Chapter 57. Jesse and Dee were to meet at the Lobster Claw for dinner. Jesse sat out on the back deck waiting for Dee to arrive. He had chosen the Lobster Claw because it was only a few months old and was a gen-free zone. For many years, the Grey Gull had been his go-to restaurant, but so much of the drama with gen had played out there. It never got public or ugly. There were no screaming fights or nasty scenes. That's not what Jesse and Jen were about. Yet so much of their relationship was spent in a constant push-pull. One step forward, half a step back. Living together, living apart. Dating each other, and dating others. Jesse shook his head just thinking about how much time and energy they had both invested in a long, drawn-out dance that, in the end, came to so much smoke. Although it had been years since they had been together, in any real sense of the word, he guessed he was still attached to Jen. He didn't need Dix to tell him it was time to move on. He wanted to move on. Dee made him want to move on. He was already at the table, sipping a beer. Beer was sometimes part of a game he played with himself about his drinking. There was a hierarchy on the Jesse Stone alcohol scale that ran from water to beer to wine to scotch and soda to scotch to martinis. Beer was one step up from soda or sparkling water, and several steps removed from martinis. He had a number value system, as well, that he used in conjunction with his alcohol scale. Two beers were equal to one scotch and soda. Two scotches were equal to 1.5 martinis, and so on. Of course, it was all nonsense. Alcohol was alcohol. Any cop or bartender knows that there's roughly the same amount of alcohol in one beer as in one glass of wine, as in one shot of 80-proof liquor. But drinkers feed their habits with these games, and Jesse was an experienced player. Dee came out on the deck in tight white slacks, red deck shoes, and a beige sweater under a perfectly faded denim jacket. Dee was smart about how she dressed. She didn't always play up her beauty, but she always let it shine through. She had on some makeup, but an appropriate amount for a spring dinner with the chief of police at a place called the Lobster Claw in a town called Paradise. She always smelled great. Jesse lit up at the sight of her. She smiled that neon smile back at him, but he detected a note of seriousness in her he hadn't seen before. He wasn't sure what it was, but he knew it was something. Dee noticed him notice. She also noticed the slight swelling and bruising on the outside of Jesse's right eye. She leaned over and kissed him, not so softly, on the lips. When she pulled back, Dee stroked her fingers along his bruises. She ordered a martini, dry, 3 olives, from the waitress standing at her shoulder. She sat down and turned her attention back to Jesse. "What happened to you, darling?"
"You first," he said.
"What do you mean?"
"I saw it on your face."
She thought about saying something witty to deflect him, but couldn't think of anything witty. Then she remembered about the call that never came. "It's Kayla," she said.
"I know."
Dee's eyes got wide. "What do you know?"
"She left Vic."
"But how?"
Jesse pointed at his eye. "Vic told me while he was trying to break my cheekbone."
"You two got into it?"
"We did."
"Bad?"
"Not for me," Jesse said, the corners of his mouth turning up. Dee understood.
"Men, what did you do to him that he came after you?"
"He thought Kayla had left him for me."
She shook her head and smiled.
"I'm wounded," Jesse said.
"No, darling, it's not that I don't think Kayla or any other woman wouldn't run in your direction at the drop of a hat. I sure would. It's just that I know where Kay went."
"Where?"
She winked at him. "I'm sworn to secrecy."
"But I'm the chief of police," he said, a broad smile on his face.
"You're going to take me back to the station and beat it out of me?"
"Beating isn't what I had in mind." It was her turn to smile.
The waitress delivered Dee's martini. She stirred the drink with the speared olives, raised the glass, and said, "To thorough interrogations."
He raised his nearly empty beer glass.
"Uh-huh." Dee ordered a field green salad with goat cheese and walnuts and a lobster roll. Jesse ordered a shrimp cocktail, extra cocktail sauce, a burger, and another beer. They ate mostly in silence,
both taking time to look out at the Atlantic. They were thinking about very different subjects as they stared out at the water. Jesse was trying to find the words to ask about the big thing he was certain Dee was hiding from him. He was also worried that asking might ruin it. He could hear Dix in his head, chiding him about his desire to control everything, even things completely beyond his control. Dee was breathing a sigh of relief that Vic had told her the truth about not being in any shape to meet with her, and that he wasn't just avoiding her. She was also thinking that she didn't want this night to end. The waitress broke the spell. "Coffee? Dessert?" They ordered coffee. Jesse waited for the waitress to leave. "Are you going to tell me where Kayla went?" Dee made an exaggerated frown. "I was kind of looking forward to that thorough interrogation you'd mentioned." "I'll come up with a new question you can refuse to answer." She looked around as if to make sure no one was listening. "You can't tell Vic." "Word of honor." "She went back home." "Scottsdale?" "New Mexico. She's going to spend some time in Taos with her folks and try to figure out what to do with her life." "Good for her." "But didn't she really hurt you?"
"Long time ago."
"That's a very enlightened lie," she said. "You forget I saw the look on your face in New York when Kayla was around." He shrugged. "That's it, a shrug? You can do better than that, darling."
"Probably."
"Jesse Stone, are you always this effusive?"
He didn't answer.
The waitress delivering their coffee saved Jesse from further questioning. The waitress also put two snifters of amber liquor down on the table next to their coffees. The intense smell of alcohol and the tang of concentrated orange rose up from the fancy glassware, blending with the salt smell of the sea and the earthy fragrance of coffee. She placed the check on the table as well. "The Grand Marnier's are compliments of the owner," the waitress said. "Dan wants you to stop by on the way out. I'll take the check when you're ready." Jesse thought back to the night he'd stood alone on this very deck, drinking his black label and thinking about his transition from one ocean to another. Dan Castro had wanted to speak to him that night, too. Less than a week had passed, but it felt like a distant memory. Lots had changed in the last several turns of the earth. Mostly, he thought about the murdered girl. The last time he'd stood on the Lobster Claw's deck, Martina Penworth's life stretched out before her like a long, dimly lit road full of potholes and promise. Now that road was forever closed, promise forever unfulfilled. "What's wrong, Jesse?"
"I was thinking about the dead girl."
"Any progress?"
"None."
They sipped their orange-infused brandies. Dee liked it. Jesse didn't. He wasn't a Grand Marnier type of guy. "I don't want to add to your worries," Dee said.
"But?"
"But Kayla was supposed to let me know she arrived safely in New Mexico." Jesse said, "She hasn't called?"
"Not a peep."
"Have you tried calling her?"
"About 20 times.
The first calls went straight to voicemail. Then the voicemail box filled up."
"Do you know her parents' number?"
"We're friends, but we're not that close, darling."
Jesse said, "She probably just wants some solitude. But I'll get hold of her folks tomorrow morning."
"That makes me feel better."
"While we're on the subject of making you feel better, how about we head back to my place and get that interrogation started?"
"What about speaking to the boss? He did buy us drinks."
"You want to bribe the chief, you got to do better than a round of drinks."
Jesse put 320s on the table and took Dee by the hand. "This way," he said, "through the parking lot."